This morning I want to talk to you about the javelin of jealousy. There's not a person in the sound of my voice that hasn't been jealous of somebody or something that surrounded them. So I want you to turn to Proverbs 27. We're going to look in Proverbs 27, and then we're going to look in the book of Genesis. Proverbs 27, verse 4. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? That's a little fictitious story that's told about two shopkeepers, and they owned and operated stores in a small town. They were located directly across the street from each other. They were both fiercely jealous of one another. In fact, when one made a sale, he would make sure he contacted the merchant across the street with an in-your-face move that he had made that particular sale. An angel came to one of the merchants one day and said, "I can grant you one wish, but whatever wish I give you, your competitor across the street will get two times what you get." He said, "If you want him to be wealthy, I'll make you wealthy, but your competitor is going to be twice as wealthy. If you want a bigger store, I'm going to grant him the wish that you get. He'll have twice the size store that you have, double the inventory. What will it be?" The merchant said, "Make me blind in one eye." According to Scripture, listen to this, Jeremiah 17. "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick." Jealousy has been called the most dangerous emotion on earth. And it depicts more than any other human passion that goes awry. No wonder Solomon said this in Proverbs 27:4, "Wrath is fierce and anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy?" Jealousy is a poison that will rob you of the blessings and the enjoyment of those blessings that God has given us. Matthew 27:18. I want you to know that jealousy is what led to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Pilate had Jesus delivered over to be crucified. And here's what he said: "For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy." The first murder recorded in the Bible was when Cain murdered his brother Abel, and it was all because of jealousy. Jealousy does kill. It kills marriages. It kills friendships. It kills families. I want you to know that this is one of Satan's biggest weapons. It is the curse of jealousy. First of all, I want you to notice today the characteristics of jealousy. And I want you to turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 37, verse 18 through 20. Genesis 37, 18 through 20. Remember the story of Joseph and his brothers. "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, 'Behold, this dreamer comes. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what has become of his dreams.' The brothers knew that Joseph was the favored son of his father. That Ralph Lauren coat of many colors was the symbol of that favoritism. The brothers had made this assumption. They come to this deduction with their thinking. When Dad dies, since Joseph is the favored son, he's probably going to inherit everything that we're supposed to get. So you remember they decided one day to sell him to the Ishmaelites and sell him into slavery. All of this was because of envy and jealousy. Listen to Eugene Peterson's The Message. "We're blasted by anger and swamped by rage, but who can survive jealousy. Jealousy is a problem that every one of us encounters. Now, let me give you the definition of jealousy and then the definition of envy. Jealousy is simply this. Jealousy is having everything you need, but you're wanting what somebody else has. Jealousy is having everything you need, but you want what somebody else has. Envy is a kissing cousin here. Envy is when you want something someone else has that you don't have. They're twin brothers. It's so easy to be jealous in an instant. You remember when you were in middle school and high school? They had homecoming queen and king. There were people that go around that hand out candy to buy votes for certain ones to get voted king and queen. You know, I used to admire, God hit me with an ugly stick when I was born. I know that. And it's endured until now. But you know, I used to be envious of the best looking guys in the class. I went to my 20th class reunion. And I want you to know, they look so old, they peaked in high school. And you know what? The homecoming queen, I had to walk up and read her name tag to even know who she was. So they just peaked real early in life. You have somebody that makes the football team and you don't. Somebody makes cheerleader and you don't. Somebody makes the baseball team and you don't. You're jealous. You're envious. Then your colleague gets a promotion at work and you don't. There's jealousy. Your neighbor buys a bigger home or a nicer car that you can't afford and you're jealous. I want you to know that pastors are the worst in the whole wide world. They got this idea that if somebody has a bigger church, that that pastor is more gifted and God's hand is on that pastor in the bigger church more than the smaller church. Well, you get married. And let me tell you, the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence. You see a sharp-looking lady that you not only look once, but you look twice. Listen, you can't help but look once because they collided with your vision. But twice, you're in trouble. You see a guy who is a stud muffin. He just looks a little bit better than the little fella that you married. You look once because he collided with your vision. You look twice, you're in trouble. Listen to me. That good-looking girl, that good-looking guy over here, man, the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, but if you could interview the person who has just gotten out of a relationship with that girl or with that guy, they could tell you where the brown grass is. I married the best-looking woman in the world. I believe that with all my heart, my mind, and my soul. And I tell her that every single day. Listen, one of the greatest problems we pastors face is that of jealousy. If we hear a pastor has been more successful than us, we just cringe. One thing I have to deal with jealousy is when our soloists and our duets and our trios come out here, quartets. I wish I could sing. You ought to be glad that I can't sing. We get out later than we do now. Now I can sing in my truck with the radio turned up. And I've even hit some notes that Diane Jones has hit with some songs in my truck. But you know what? I'm just kind of jealous of those people. You know, I'm jealous of these preachers that can get up and preach without notes. They just get up here with their Bible. Some of them are now using their iPhones. And when I'm sitting in the audience, I'm thinking all it takes is the battery to go out and you're going to sink. My notes have never failed me. Oh, I wish I had a photographic memory. But you know what? You've got to come to the point that this is the way God made you. This is the way God equips you. You've got to be comfortable in your own skin and with God, what God's allowed you to have, and give Him praise and encourage and commend people that are more successful and more gifted than we are. Now, let's see what happens when we get jealous. I've noticed some of you wish you could play the piano like Miriam Moon. That is not going to happen. It's just not going to. She can play notes faster than you can see them and talk to you and chew gum at the same time. That's exactly what she can do. So, first of all, jealousy leads to a critical spirit. It breeds sin. It's a direct path to cynicism. People become jealous at the mention of another person's success or something a friend has done. And they look for ways to undermine your efforts. We had a pastor here in a local church down the road from us who's jealous of this church. You know, one thing I tell people, the only reason this church has grown like it has, God's had his hand on it. I was underwater here the first year I came. It was outgrowing me so fast. And I'd used up 16 years experience in the first year. And I went home and told Elaine, I'm not sure where to lead this church anymore. She said, good, God's got you right where you need to be, dependent on him. There's a pastor down the street that was jealous. Some people were thinking about joining here. And the pastor down the street got a hold of him and said, listen, you don't want to go to Pleasant Valley South. He said, I've heard that if you join there, you have to sign a commitment card that says that you'll give 10% of your income. You have to tithe. You know, I wish that was true. You know, if your whole congregation just obeyed God with the tithe, wouldn't that be wonderful? And then sometimes people that are visiting here in a smaller church, the pastor of the smaller church says, you don't need to go there. They don't need you there. They're already too big already. They shouldn't even be big churches around here. We need you worse than they need you. You get jealous, you get a critical spirit. When you get jealous, anger, bitterness, and resentfulness come along. You can only suppress bitterness so long. In fact, you can't keep it hidden very long because attitudes like bitterness and jealousy are written in your eyes. You could tell somebody who is full of joy, just look at their face. They're at peace. They make good eye contact. They smile. But have you ever seen somebody just eaten up with jealousy? You can just see it on their face. It's just all crinkled up. Their eyes look stressed. In fact, their blood pressure's high, and they don't even know it. Among churches and religious denominations, there's resentment. There's jealousy. I was reading the other day about a pastor in a small town of a Baptist church was on vacation, and one of his members died. So the Baptist family, called the pastor of the Methodist church and said, look, could you come do the funeral for one of our family members? Well, we know we belong to the Baptist church. We don't belong to the Methodist church, but we don't want to call our pastor back from vacation. He's a long way off. Our Baptist preacher is not going to be home for this funeral. Will you do it? He said, well, I'm going to have to call my bishop first. So he called the bishop. Told the bishop, said, the Baptist church in town has asked me, the Methodist preacher, to do a funeral for one of their Baptist members. Is that okay? The bishop said, bury every Baptist you can. Then there's a sense of insecurity. Jealousy changes the object of our focus. We become insecure, wondering whether we have done the right thing. And when Jesus walked to the disciples on the Sea of Galilee during a horrendous storm, he wanted them to fix their gaze on one thing, and that was him. But the moment we begin to think about who is getting ahead of us, we set ourselves up for trouble. How many of you remember the story of John Glenn? Do you know who John Glenn is? If you're a teenager, ask your great grandparents. We watched John Glenn in school, elementary school, on black and white television as he worked with the space program. He died on December the 8th, 2016. He was buried in April of 2017 at a private ceremony. He flew 59 combat missions in World War II. He was in the Korean War. 27 missions he flew there. He was a test pilot. He was an astronaut. He became the first astronaut to orbit the Earth. And I couldn't believe it when he requested this. First, he was a four-term U.S. senator, but then he was the oldest man at age 77 to fly in space in the year 1998. He was on the space shuttle Discovery. Following his death, I want you to know that flags flew at half-staff not only in the United States, but in nations around the world. I want you to know that at Ohio State University, there's the John Glenn College of Public Affairs, but viewers might be surprised to see one of the most notable pieces in the exhibit. There's a picture of John Glenn's civics teacher from high school in New Concord. He gives tribute to that teacher for his spirit of service. Glenn credited Harvard Steele as the one who shaped his belief in the importance of public service. And here's what Glenn said: igniting a fire in me that never did go out. Listen to me. When those flags were at half staff, for 9 days here and around the world, it was also a silent, subtle tribute to his teacher, Mr. Steele. And then when we're jealous, we have the wrong focus. Focus is a key element to living the Christian life successfully. I love to go to my sister's house once a year. And their dog there, their golden retriever, Linus, who runs the house. Oh, Linus, it's cost him a little money the last couple of years. He's had to have two ACL repairs at $8,000 apiece. And then there are some veterinarians who've now decided that they have gone into the physical rehab business with pets. And so my sister says, if I buy 20 rehab visits, they give me 10% off. She sent me a text pic the other day, and there's old Linus. He's doing his rehab on an underwater treadmill. Now, my question is, how do you keep from getting electrocuted on an underwater treadmill? And she's sitting there just watching, and I'm thinking about my dad and a fool and his money soon departs. Isn't that right? And so I enjoy that. But they have sent Linus to obedience school several times. Linus has them trained to do everything he wants them to do. We'll be over there watching TV at 10 o'clock. Linus gets up and gets in front of the TV and does like that. Rain, shine, sleet, or snow. It's time for them to take him for a 2-mile walk around the block. And they actually do it. I'm just amazed. When he's ready to eat, he lets them know. When they're on the couch and he'd rather be on there, he lets them know. But you know, when you take a dog to obedience school, they always get their attention by saying, "Watch!" And then the next command is given. Whatever has our focus also has you. So ask yourself, are my eyes and my heart focused on Jesus, or am I angry and jealous of other people? If you're jealous, I want you to know you'll also be indecisive. In the back of your mind, you may constantly think about the person who seems to have more, to know more than you do. Regardless of whether it's true or not, focusing on your feelings can be very disrupting. The other thing that can happen if you're jealous, there's possible depression. I'm not saying that you might become clinically depressed, but you might have feelings of despair. For example, you may be at odds with a coworker, a friend, and the first thing you do in the morning is begin to think about that person, and you wonder if they're going to get ahead of you. And all day long, you're just stewing on the inside the fact that you don't have what they have. Psalm 46:10. Cease striving and know that He is God. If you're jealous, you'll experience the loss of privileges and opportunities. Jealousy positions us for a crash in our emotions as well as our professional lives. And where there's no peace, contentment, or happiness within our hearts, others will have a hard time working next to us. Nearly 2 decades ago, Warren Buffett has availed himself to have lunch with the highest bidder as he works with Glide's annual charity fund to raise money for the poor. Now listen to me carefully. Some of you want to get in on this. In 2017, one person bid $2.6 million and won the opportunity to have lunch with Warren Buffett. But let me tell you something else. You get to go to the New York Steakhouse, Smith and Walensky's, and then you get to bring 7 friends with you to sit down and eat with Warren Buffett. Now, that was a bargain. Last year, the person who won the bid paid $3.4 million to have lunch with Warren Buffett. Now, once you know Buffett, over the last few years, has raised $26 million for anti-poverty causes through these luncheons. Now, I would love to be one of the 7 friends, not the person who paid the money. You know, it's kind of like you don't want to own a boat. You want to be friends with somebody who has a boat, okay? I want to be friends with somebody who has the 2.6 or the 3.4 million. I want to be one of the 7 that goes and just listens, or I would love to be the waiter and pick up the tip on the tab. That's what I want to do. Now, each day we can do something infinitely greater, listen, than to win a bid on eBay to have lunch with Warren Buffett. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't think we could get enough insider trading information in an hour with him anyway. The other thing, jealousy causes broken fellowship with God. You can read your Bible, you can pray, but something's going to be missing because there'll always be a wall between you and God because jealousy is a self-centered emotion. A person who is dealing with jealousy can't pray with true devotion because you only want God to deal with that other person and not you. The other thing that can happen is physical sickness. Bitterness, resentment, hostility, anger, jealousy, envy can be stepping stones to physical disease. People sometimes go to see their primary care physician, blood pressure's high, there's some other physical manifestations of illness, and as the doctor does their evaluation, they test, they find out they can't find a physical source, and they come back and say, the reason for this is what? Stress. And is stress sometimes caused by jealousy? Todd Gaddis, in his book, said the consequences of jealousy begin with the consequences of jealousy begin with 2 internal effects listed below, some of which may require medical attention. He said physiological. He said we may not be struck with leprosy, becoming white as snow like Moses' sister in Numbers 12:10. Yet research connects jealousy with certain health problems. Here's some of them. Jonathan Davish, a neuroscientist at the University of Haifa, said, the sympathetic nervous system buckles under the stress of jealousy. It can quicken the heart, raise your blood pressure. You can have bags under your eyes. Acne. Hair loss. Some of you have been jealous for years, I can tell that. And then weight change has also been attributed to jealousy. Then he said psychological. B.C. Forbes, founder of Forbes magazine, called jealousy a mental cancer. He said feelings of depression, bitterness, anxiety, insecurity, some of which will be addressed as separate chapters in his book, often occur with those who suffer from jealousy. Saul drove himself absolutely insane because of his envious spirit about David. In fact, you read in Scripture in 1 Samuel 18:10, an evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he raved in the midst of the house. Let's talk about quickly the complex nature of jealousy. Shakespeare said this, jealousy is a poison more deadly than a mad dog's tooth. Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Did you hear that? Jealousy goes deep, all the way into the bones of our body. Oftentimes, our criticism of other people is nothing in the world but jealousy. Studies have repeatedly found that we tend to attribute our own success to our intelligence. But then when we see other people that are successful in our field, we say they were at the right place at the right time. It was just luck. And if we've been successful and then we fail, you know what we do? We don't blame ourselves. We blame our circumstances and our surroundings. That's a sign of jealousy. The real problem with jealousy, it will rob you of the peace that we ought to have in our heart as we walk with God. Now, I want to go here quickly now, some correction that's required with jealousy. First thing we need to do, very first thing, we need to confess it to the Lord. Listen, He already knows that sin's in our life. All we're doing is agreeing with Him that, yes, I am guilty of the sin of jealousy and envy. Second thing I want you to write down is you need to confirm it. And what does that mean? You've already confessed it to God, but what you're doing, you're so serious about it, you come in before God and you say, now, God, I'm listening to You. I'm wanting to walk with You, and I want You to convict me of and give me instructions on how to overcome this. And if there's a chance you're jealous of another person, ask God, listen, this is not easy, ask God to give you the ability to encourage and compliment or befriend the person that you're jealous of in this life. Now, that's not easy. Third thing I want you to write down, commend the Lord. We need to thank God for what He's done in our lives. You know, if you get on the thankful side, you'll have a whole lot of trouble getting over here on the critical side. Now listen to this. This is even harder. Even thank God for the people who've caused the conflict in your life. That's not easy. Sometimes when people give us a lot of trouble, dear God, take them out. You, especially with politicians, Lord, You raise them up and You can take them out. It's time to get rid of some lefties in our government. Be careful about that, because God can teach us things through people who cause us conflict. And then consult. Write that down. We need to pray and ask God for help so we can see the heart of another person. You see, jealousy is everywhere. Corporate world, ministry, government, politics, with students in your office. Even in your neighborhood, you may be jealous of someone who is just being the person God's created them to be. And there's no way to know exactly what another person is facing. They'll be dealing with something hurtful. They might be dealing with something that's just driving them in the wrong direction. You know, sometimes people are just pushing to get ahead. God, to help you to rest in His presence and do and be what He wants you to be. Here's the other thing, overcoming jealousy. Just walk close to God. Just walk with God every single day. He'll help you grow. He'll give you instruction. My prayer is always, God, help me to be successful according to Your standards. You say, well, Pastor, that's not biblical. Yes, it is. You just turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah was told that the walls of the city were down, and then he begins to pray. He starts out confessing his sins, the sins of the nation, and then he accepts God's call to rebuild these walls, and he said, God, make me successful in this project. And then the other word you need to write down, and we need this in America, is the word contentment. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. If you believe you're where God wants you to be, and if you believe you're who God wants you to be, and you have God what God wants you to have, then you have no reason to be jealous of what somebody else has. I told you last week about the man I talked to that said, man, I have a little drink of Jack every night. Don't you drink? No, sir. He says, I buy a car every year. I said, I keep mine for 10 years. He said, I wouldn't have a car for 10 years and anything in the world. This old boy, he has fancy trucks down the streets. He has a fancy Corvette. He has a Hyundai Genesis. He has all these things. And you know what? When I ride by there, I'm not jealous one bit. And I've tried to talk to him about Jesus. You know what? I feel sorry for the man. He's never trusted Jesus as his Savior, and he has no interest. How sad. Why do I want to be envious of somebody who has more than I do? I had a nightmare last night. You ever had nightmares? We went to look at a new house. It was huge. Now, I don't know if it's my thyroid medicine or my Ambien mixed. I don't know what it is, but it was a huge house. And they wanted $625,000. Where'd that come from? $625,000 for the house. They showed us the house. They had, Delana hadn't told you about this. They had a little goldfish pond out there. And I'm sitting there thinking, somebody's got to clean that thing out. And when they die, I got to sane them out. I know what's going to happen. Poor Goldie died today of an overdose, Hearts Mountain. And you know, so, and then I looked at everything else in the grounds. And then there was a guest house in the back. And the owner said, now the deal is you buy the place for $625,000 and we live in the guest house. The owners, the previous owners, live in the guest house for the rest of their lives. Well, number one, what am I doing on the property that costs $625,000? Because any check I wrote would be bad. Why in the world would I want the former owners living in my backyard and me taking care of their goldfish? And then I woke up and I live on Clubview Drive. I live on the lower end. The tax assessor knows we live on the runoff end in that neighborhood in the cheaper houses. And our house is paid for. Praise God. I looked out back and there was no goldfish pond in the backyard. I'm just so excited. And the bear in the neighborhood didn't tear my squirrel-proof bird feeder down last night. It's either a bear or a raccoon, I don't know which, but a bear sounds better when you tell the story. You know what? Delaney and I have been talking this week. We are so blessed, not just materially, but to have each other, to be a part of a church family with you. I had Christian parents, and we know Christ, and we know once saved, always saved, and we get to spend eternity in heaven knowing each other even as we are known. Why should I be jealous of what anybody has? Materially, their talents, their brain power, their looks, or their material possessions. It's a good test to the rise and fall of egotism to notice how you listen to the praises of other men of your own standing. I was reading the other day about an old Scottish preacher named Andrew Bonar. He wrote this in his diary. This day, 20 years ago, I preached for the first time as an ordained minister. It is amazing that the Lord had spared me and used me at all. I have no reason to wonder that he used others far more than he does me. Yet envy is my heart, and today I've been seeking grace to rejoice exceedingly over the usefulness of other people. Even where it cast me into the shade, Lord, take all envy and jealousy away from me. Rather than letting jealousy drag you down to despondency and dysfunction, let it motivate you and lift you to a closer walk with God and greater service or him. I still do some, listen to Charles Stanley. He just opens his little Bible. He says, now today we're going to talk about depression. And I'm going to tell you 10 ways to get depressed. And then we get through that. He says, now I'm going to tell you 10 ways to get over depression. I don't have 20 points in 10 of my messages. And you know what? He never looks at a note. You hear old Andy Stanley. He's just up there in his little skinny jeans. And, you know, he's just got all this technology going on. And, you know, and the scripture's up on the board. And he's just going, and 22,000 people a week come to hear him. And then I used to listen to Adrian Rogers. Adrian! How you get a voice like that? And we'd say, amen. He'd just get way down here and waller. You know, I listened to him preach. Chuck Swindoll, John MacArthur, J.D. Greer, all these people. You know why I hear all that? I'm not envious. I think God's got a sense of humor. Went to school with Rick Warren. We thought that man was the craziest fool we'd ever met in our whole life. If you were in a class with him and heard the things he had to say, we thought, man, this is before drugs were in, you know. We thought he was out there already. And I remember the day he graduated. He graduated a year before me. And look where Rick Warren is at Saddleback. And you know what I love about it? He hadn't drawn a salary from that church in 15 years. He lives off book royalties and gives most of that to missions. And one of my heart's desire for you is I could live off my book royalties and never draw a salary. But you know what? God knew what he was doing. He put Rick Warren, who was cutting edge with a new generation, in Saddleback where he could reach people there and worldwide. And he put me down here in Silver Creek near Booger Hollow Road so I couldn't damage many people. But you know what? I'm not jealous of that one bit. And I'm content in my skin. Because I'm right where God called me to be. I'm doing what he called me to do. I've got the wife of my dreams. And I've got the congregation of a lifetime. It just don't get any better than that. So why spoil it with being jealous of other people? We stand right where you are, heads bowed. And eyes are closed.